Reality Rant.
Oh, it's been a while, folks. It's been a while since we've sat here and just decided to talk about the things that we give a crap about. And I do mean crap. This is your poop cast. Eric Pierce, Intro News Net, alongside Bill Hammond, who's making little beeping poop noises, which just sounds so weird. For those of you who don't remember, the Poopcast is simply the personalities of the podcast, of our podcast, P-O-O-P. So we have the opportunity to talk about anything we want, and sometimes it'll be reality related, sometimes it won't. If you don't want poop going into your ears, now is the time to pull those earphones out and figure out why the hell they're shooting poo. Seriously, that would be a little disturbing. But yes, please remember how you can keep in contact with the podcast. It is realityrantpodcast@gmail.com. That's the email address. You can tweet us in the face on Twitter @realityrant, and you can do it on Facebook too. Did I just say you could do it on Facebook? Yes, you can do it on my Facebook. Reality Rant on Facebook. Like it. Like it a lot. You will like it. Bill, what's going on in the world of reality TV? What do you want to bring to the table?
Oh, what the hell is MasterChef Junior?
MasterChef Junior. Well, it's a fantastic show where Gordon Ramsay's kids decide to bitch out a lot of adults. Right?
I mean,
that would be funny. I could only imagine like a mini Gordon Ramsay running around telling 40-year-old chain smokers how to cook. But, oh wait, that's Hell's Kitchen. I'm confusing things. Yeah. More seriously, MasterChef Junior is the kids' version of MasterChef. Now, I don't know how many of you remember American Juniors, but American Idol decided at a point that, hey, we're going to do a kids' version of the show. And hell, even The Voice is doing The Voice Kids eventually, and they've done La Voz Kids. So the Spanish version actually did extremely well. And I guess in the same vein, MasterChef Junior has gotten really positive reviews. Maybe it's because Ramsay's forced to be nicer because you can't possibly cuss out a kid the same way you could cuss out an adult.
I'll call bullshit on that right there.
Uh-oh, really?
It's called Dance Moms.
Well, and that's a whole nother show.
Now, that'd be a crossover I'd pay to see.
What, like a dating show between Ramsay and that Abby woman?
Yeah, that would be something to behold.
I don't know if you can hold it. That's pretty heavy.
I mean, they did an episode of MasterChef Junior where, like, I guess they had, like, cook, like, pastries for Leah Michelle's birthday party or something like that.
Ooh.
Or Halloween party or something. And all I could think was, this is what she does right after Cory Monteith dies. Like, I watched the Glee episode. It is the last episode of Glee I will ever watch, and they did it right. That was a well done hour of television.
I warned you about that. I warned you that they kind of nailed it there. They did.
Yeah, and they nailed it because they just treated him as he. It doesn't matter how he died. He's dead. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, and there was a lot of wasted potential there. You know, and. You know, a final series swan song for Amber Riley and Mark Salling and all them, and the new kids are pushed to the background where they belong. The final image of Will Schuster crying into the jersey, a la Brokeback Mountain. We saw that coming a mile away, but yes, very well handled. And then Leah Michelle turns around and says, "I need pumpkin cupcakes."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Man, here's something I'll say. I'm just browsing through the MasterChef Junior Facebook right now, and man, one, there's a surprising number of chubby kids, which I guess is a good thing, because they say, you know, never trust a skinny chef. So at least these kids are halfway on their way to diabetes, childhood obesity.
At the same time, Ramsay hates fatties.
Yes, he does, but hey, they're kids, he's not allowed. And looking at some of the dishes that are made, I'm quite impressed just looking at them. Who knows how they actually taste, and quite a few of them are actually messy like you would expect a kid to bake. They're not quite polished, but hey, if they taste good, I'll give them credit. One thing that I find a little disturbing, a lot of people on this Facebook page are literally pimping these children out. Like, I'm looking at someone in the comments saying, hey guys, here's Sarah's Facebook page. Make sure you like her page and let her know how many fans she has. It's like, wait a minute. Facebook specifically has a policy saying that you're not supposed to have a page unless, was it 13 now? Because they just lowered it. But you've got these little kids that you're now trying to basically media whore them out.
The show's doing that well enough. You don't need to give them a social media presence to that degree
Just imagine if Facebook was at the same level of dominance it is now when Kids Nation was around.
Oh, man. I can only imagine the hate speech that would be flying.
We would have an entire deal with it fan page.
Deal with it! Oh,
ugly chickens deserve to die!
That was fantastic. I miss experiments. I miss when reality TV used to be experimental. Now everybody is basically take a format, make one tweak, change the name, and repeat in order to make money.
Or did you have sex with a terrible rapper on film? Your entire family's famous now.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And they went ahead and rented out Six Flags Magic Mountain over here. My lord. Yeah.
Thank you, At Midnight, for giving light to that.
Listen, that'll be the plug for the show, okay? At Midnight on Comedy Central. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch that, go ahead. It's quality. You'll at least get one good laugh out of every episode, probably a few more. So.
And you might get a boner from seeing Natasha Leggero dressed up as Carmen Miranda. Just
well, Moshe Kasher is Carmen Miranda. Ooh, man. That really grinds my gears.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what do you do in these kinds of cases? Anything else in the world of reality TV? There's already been a lot of qualms and questions about editing.
Yeah.
As far as, Amazing Race and Survivor making their fun little edits and things that didn't necessarily happen. So for one, Laura Bonham's exit, making it seem as if it was because she made that comment saying, oh, Vetus, sorry, you're going next. Girl said so, and I'm telling you, they had already decided she was gone. Yeah. Not that they weren't all shocked that she opened her mouth like that at that moment, but they had made that decision prior.
I guess this is a topic we can cover for a second because we didn't cover it on the actual Survivor podcast. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on telling people that they're going to get voted out?
Generally, I don't do it, and I definitely wouldn't do it in a public forum. I think it's just dangerous because it allows a person to change their play. I mean, I understand why you might want to be nice to a person so that they think, oh, they were kind enough to tell me, so maybe I'll give them the vote later. But no one's in jury yet.
Yeah.
Definitely not if no one's in jury yet. Once jury is about to happen, generally still no. What could I tell you? I'm an asshole. Deal with it.
I mean, I get it in certain respects, like when they all decided that Ozzy was going to go to Redemption Island just to be a ringer.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, he's in on the plan, you know?
Sure.
And he's not truly eliminated from the game. But for me, it's like, if it's someone who I truly am sorry that I'm voting out and that I want their vote on the jury, if I'm sending them to the jury, I will tell them as we're walking into tribal council. I'll just whisper, like, hey, sorry, buddy, it's you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So at least they don't get blindsided, you know? But that's all I'm giving them. Because, as I mentioned in the Survivor podcast we did previously, an audible at tribal council is very rare. We've had one this season. The last time it was Heroes Villains. It doesn't happen that often. So the risk is minimal if you tell them walking into tribal council with torches in hand. So, but otherwise, unless the entire group has decided to tell you, don't tell anybody. It's like, I don't know.
Mm-mm. Now, can you explain this to me?
Okay.
Amazing Race. And yep. Back to the editing mess again. And thank you, Reality Blurred, for bringing this to my attention. Thank you to the Royal Half for finding this in the first place. How is it that a cab driver from episode 3 in Portugal reappears in episode 5 in Poland?
Wait, what?
Yes. Yes.
That is some editing trickery right there.
I will read this straight up from Andy Dennert just because this is true. Meanwhile, on The Amazing Race, something truly amazing happened. A cab driver who appeared in Episode 3 in Portugal reappeared in Episode 5 when the teams were in Poland. As the Royal Half noticed, it was just the same footage from Poland. The background is identical in both clips. The editors gave one team, Nikki and Kim, a fake driver so that they could have a reaction shot for the women's platonic kiss. So that's right, we get an ounce of lesbianism, and it requires us to get a goofy, lecherous shot from a cab driver and reuse it.
Oh my god.
Come on now. Have we gotten to the point where we have to sweeten these episodes this much to make them watchable? I mean, The Amazing Race, by definition, is chronological.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fantastic. You have tons of great imagery all around you at all times. You got so many camera crews because there's at least one camera crew following each team and camera crews at all the locations.
Yep.
How do you get to a point where you feel you have to force something like that, someone in the post-edit really needs to be smacked.
Yeah,
Don't do that crap.
That is dropping the ball right there.
If anything, why would you think that we want to see the reaction of a creepy, bald, white cab driver rather than a slow-motion replay of the kiss? With a little porn bed under it. Bow-chicka-wow-wow. Come on. If you're really trying to dig for the gutter, well, that's how you do it.
Well, since of the baseball wise, it should have been charge!
Yay. Anything else crazy going on in the world of reality TV? I mean, Dancing with the Stars, I guess that happened. Oh man, did you see Chelsea Handler on Dancing with the Stars?
No, what happened?
Oh, it's just so fantastic. Now, for those of you who don't know, Chelsea Handler is a comedian and a talk show host on E! She has her own show, Chelsea Lately. And
she's a world-class drunk.
She is a world-class drunk. Belvedere Vodka, yes. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. She went on Dancing with the Stars to support her friend Leah Remini. You know, King of Queens and nothing since then. But
escaped Scientologist.
Okay, that's something. That's something we can applaud. Well done. But she's dancing, and as Chelsea put it, I'm supporting her because I need her to lose more weight. Okay.
Aww.
Fine, we get it. But most importantly, Tom Bergeron went and interviewed Chelsea while she was in the audience and said, "Why are you here?" And
She was at least more coherent than Sarah Palin.
She was more coherent than Sarah Palin. Not that that takes much, right?
Pretty much.
It just doesn't. In short, and please go out there and find your clip. Maybe we'll find it and put it on the Facebook page if we're really nice. But she was sitting there, and Tom asked her, you know, "Why are you here? What brings you to Dancing with the Stars?" "Well, I'm here to support my friend Leah Remini because she needs to be here and win, and that way she can lose more weight. And I'm extremely sexually attracted to you." Oh, way to take a family show and throw it in the gutter.
Because anything
show.
That Bruno Tonioli has done for the last 8 years is family friendly.
Featuring Elizabeth Berkley, which, okay, I probably have to go and watch this. I heard that they redid the "I'm so excited, I'm so excited, I'm so scared" as a dance routine.
Oh no,
that kind of has to be watched. I mean, that's classic Americana. Jesse Spano on speed every day of the week, please.
Only if they recreate the pool scene from Showgirls.
That's if she makes it to the finale, and I don't even know if she's still in or eliminated.
I don't either. I
what we care about on this podcast, folks.
I know Bill Nye got eliminated week two. I was like, okay, I'm done.
Aww, that's sad. That's so sad. Okay, let's see if we can actually get some information here. You know, it's amazing what you can do with the Googles. With the Googles, you can find out some stuff, but you don't necessarily find everything. God, season 17? Are you serious?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
This shouldn't be allowed.
I told you, 8 years.
Elizabeth Berkley is still in.
Is Snooki finally gone, please?
Yes, yeah, Snooki got eliminated.
Thank God.
Most recently eliminated, which is kind of sad. You need a little jersey in the joint. You need it.
No. I'll take Cory Booker. Fine. That's all the jersey I need.
Mm-hmm. So you have Elizabeth Berkley, Corbin Blue, Brent Daugherty, Bill Engvall, Jack Osborne, Leah Remini, and Amber Riley left in the competition.
Bill Engvall still in this thing? Good God.
Here's your sign.
I know.
Yeah. It's fantastic. You can only do so much with these dancing competitions. I mean, you've got that. You've got So You Think You Can Dance, and I miss Dance Your Pants Off. What happened to that?
I miss Pants Off Dance Off.
Same difference, except one was a lot dirtier.
No. One involves a coked out Jodie Sweetin. So,
first of all, she wasn't coked out; she just snorted a white substance. We can't.
It wasn't anthrax.
Clearly, she's still alive.
Yeah.
Oh God, we're just horrible people. That's what I think we've come to as a conclusion in this poopcast. We're really horrible people who hide it. When we're talking about Survivor or Biggest Loser strategy analysis. When we talk about that, we're able to hide our true feelings and emotions.
No, we can't. We're pissed off at everything.
Okay, fair enough. That might be the most honest moment we've had on this podcast.
Yep.
We apologize for actually turning this into one of those, like, sob-breaking Drew Fess, I don't know, is this like Dr. Phil or something at this point?
Well, I mean, I guess I'll buy it back somewhat. We're not completely terrible people, because if we were, I would have, the moment you said we need a little jersey, I would have made a reference to LAX. I didn't.
Ooh.
So
ooh. Yeah, so let's just state that right now. We are recording this on the date that the shootings happened at LAX airport, and best wishes to all the people who are struggling through that time, traumatized by it, and those who are family members and friends of those that were injured and those that are hopefully recovering at this point. And that will be a difficult spot, but a good one for us to end this poop podcast. So, as you know, we are here to bring you all the reality news you can use and abuse, and sometimes if there's a dose of actual reality stuck in there, we try to be humane about it, unlike certain people who cut jokes on broadcasts. We'll leave you nameless, but boy, come on, people. Let's maintain some sensitivity. And while we find a way to get rid of all of our sensitivity for your next podcast, that way that you can laugh at us a little bit more, we will just remind you that very simply, I'm Eric Pierce of Gameshow News Net. That is Bill Hammond, and this edition of the Reality Rant Poopcast is
one last poop. CeeLo, get that shit off your head.